Let's start back where we were. Again, sorry, like all the way back when we did this 100,000 years ago and we were doing this last. Okay, we had just finished the introduction, which was super long. We talked about the alchemist, right? And how the alchemist is basically trying to hack life, and that our hashkafa is not to try to hack life, and that not trying to hack life as a Baal HaBatech always gets you out better than trying to hack life as a quote unquote alchemist, which again, we talked about how we can relate to it nowadays. Then we had the last paragraph before he basically in his introduction said, like, here's how I'm going to lay out Shaar HaBitachon, which you could look at if you want to look at it. I'm not going to read it out loud because it's just telling him us what he's about to do. And then today we're going to do Perek Aleph, okay? So again, let's start back where we were. Again, a quick review. Last time we talked about how Bitachon has like basically it's a three-part sentence that we're trying to take apart. And again, all that was his introduction. Now he's going to go into what is Bitachon. That's Perek Aleph, okay? That's Perek Aleph, which is today. He's gonna about to go into, hold on a second, he's gonna go into like what is trust, what creates trust, what gets us out of trust, when is trust applicable, when it's not applicable. Okay, so again, like that's kind of where we're going right now. So we're about to dive deeper in. But let's start back at like the one sentence that sums up Bitachon that we keep going back to, which is like where I am right now, there is work for me to do that Hashem is interested in. Right? Bitachon is not believing that Hashem is going to get me out of my situation. It is also, again, davening and hoping and believing that Hashem is going to improve my situation. But it is also knowing that this isn't a mistake, the situation that I am in, right? Right now, where I am in right now and where I will get in the future, Hashem is just as interested in me here right now as he will be in the place that I want to get, even if I believe that he wants me to get there also, right? But here, right now, there is avoda for me to do that Hashem is interested in. Every single point in my life that I am trying to be an Eved Hashem is just as valuable as any other point in my life in which I am trying to be an Eved Hashem, no matter what the circumstances look like at that moment. Okay, that's the ground level of Shaar Bitachon. And again, let's call a spade, Bitachon and real work on Bitachon starts when my life does not look the way that I want it to. So that's it, right? It's when my life does not look the way that I want it to, in a big way or in a small way, in an enormous way or in a smaller, diminutive way, right? My life does not look the way that it wants, and it's on me to believe, or what we're working on in Bitachon is believing that in those times, the situation that I'm in is a situation that Hashem wants me to be in because there's some agenda that he has for me in that situation and work for me to do. And hopefully, also, I will get myself out of there. But even now, retrospectively, when I die and look back at this point in my life where I'm not at the point where I want to be at, in God's eyes, it's seeing both of those points is just as valuable as long as I'm doing the work that I'm trying, as long as I'm trying to do work. Okay? So again, inherently here is a value of avoda, right? A value of work as like the most important thing, and a belief in Hashem's interest in me. Those are the basic underpinnings of Bitachon, and that's what we have so far. Okay? So I'm going to read to you again. It's going to sound like a review because it is the last paragraph before Perek Aleph. Okay, so here we go, and it's important because we're going to like kind of back reference it in the only Perek, in the only one paragraph of Perek Aleph that we're about to do. So here it is. Umehen simchaso b'chol inyan shi'atak elav. Oh, sorry, I'm supposed to be reading not only from my book, but I'm sharing my screen and reading it over here. Whoever just joined, let me find who you were. Hi, Yelet. Hello. Okay, ready? So we're going back. Sorry. Can you guys see? I'm sharing my screen now, right? Okay, here's where he's talking about the things that's going to happen. Umehem, simchaso, b'chol inyan she'atak elav. Okay, another, so again, he's talking about what Bitachon feels like, basically. It's a certain simcha, okay, hold on, don't jump down my throat yet. It's a certain happiness in anything that happens then. V'imiyah k'neged tivo, even if it is against his nature. Mibnei bitchono b'elokim she'lo ya'aseh lo, ela hatov lo. There's a certain trust that even if it feels like it's going against my nature, what's asked of me is difficult. Again, right? Bitachon starts where my life is hard and it doesn't look like I want it to look, sometimes in a very serious way, right? It's a certain belief that Hashem still wants the good for me in that place. B'chol inin kasher ta'aseh ha'im ha'chomeles livna berchitzaso v'chasulo v'kasharto v'asaraso al karcho. Just like a mother takes care for a child and takes care of him and washes him and chains him, even when it's against his will. Okay? So again, last time, if you remember, if you don't remember, it's also totally okay. It was many weeks since then. We spoke about the fact, like those two pieces of it, right? We have a certain happiness, even though something feels like it's against our nature. Okay, we're going to talk about that more in the next coming paragraph. So it feels bad, yet there's bitachon is somehow a layer on top of that feeling. And the second thing is that the best analogy for this is a mother taking care of a child while the child is protesting and not a doctor taking care of a patient, which is perhaps the more obvious muscle you think he would have gone with, right? Which is always like, it's really good for you, even though it doesn't feel good, right? The it's usually like bloodletting. You see it in the Malbim, like I just saw in the Malbim on Esther. You see that muscle being a lot, right? Like you, if you have appendicitis, the doctor cuts you open, but it's really to heal you, right? Like we see those muscles all the time. And Carrie last time came through for us and said, like, what's the difference between those two kind of muscles, the two analogies? And Carrie said, well, you know, the doctor, it's only for like a means towards an end. The only thing that's important is that at the end of the day, you're healed. And the mother, it's not trying to get somewhere very specific at the end. It's the whole process is her caring. That's the whole point, right? And it's beautiful. That's the analogy he used. It's not that when our life feels difficult, it's because it's a means towards an end. Hashem wants us to daven and get out of it. And that's why he put us in a situation. That's not what, it's not only a means to an end. And so it's just like the cut in order to heal you. Ha ha, I got you healed at the end of the day. It's that the whole process of you being in a situation that feels uncomfortable for you, that process itself is like a mother caring for a child. That process itself is God caring for us, okay? Again, high ideals. Rav Leuchter in this coming parak that we're about to read, he said like, you know, that's why people who tell me that I'm a Baal HaBitachon, he's like, I kind of like chuckle at them. I'm like, yeah, anyone who actually claims that they're a Baal HaBitachon, like they ain't nowhere near it because it is like so hard in sort of a paradoxical way, okay? And that's what we're going to kind of get at more in the coming one paragraph of Perek Aleph. But again, very hard, difficult. We're all struggling with it because it's painting an ideal. But what can I do? I'm learning Chovos HaLevavos, not Chana. Otherwise, this whole Chabur would have been me blinking at you. That's all I have to say about Bitachon. Okay, so let's go back to Chovos HaLevavos. Okay, ready? Here is Perek Aleph. Ready for it? Perek Aleph. Ba-ba-da. Oh, here, Safaria splits it into two paragraphs. Chapter 2. That's not where we are. We're in chapter 1. Ready? Here we go. Ach. Mahus habitachon hi. What is bitachon? What is it? Ready? Hi menuchas nefesh haboteach. Etc. etc. Da da da. Okay, it's about to go on. But that's what he's saying. What is bitachon? Menuchas hanefesh. Now, menuchas hanefesh is a hard Hebrew word to translate because we're like, what do we say? Like, what would we say? What does menuchas hanefesh translate as?
Peace of mind.
Good, like peace. What else would you say? Is that what everyone else is thinking? Right? It's like it's a Hebrew term that we kind of like associate with English terms. But if we go back into like, in the same way that like hakaras hatov, what does it mean? Gratitude. It doesn't mean, it means hakaras hatov, recognizing the good. So menuchas hanefesh means, literally in Hebrew, the resting of the soul. Right? So we usually means, okay, it means your soul's resting, meaning like you're at peace. Right? But again, we spoke about this a little bit before. It was equanimity. Thanks, I yell at. Sorry, was I not supposed to read that one aloud? Nice word. So it's that, it's a certain, right, a resting of your soul. And where is your soul resting when your soul is resting? Where is it resting? Let's be like super, super crunchy, like earthy about this because that tends to be my style. I have to be like super grounded. Let's be super grounded. Where is your soul resting, guys? In your body, right? You're like, I don't know. Where does your soul rest? I don't know. Okay, maybe it doesn't. But your soul is resting. It's settled somewhere. Where is it settled? It's settled in your life. It's settled in your experience of life. Okay? So sometimes when we think about, and it's like a trap in a certain way, when we think about menuchas hanefesh, sometimes we think about this certain like peace. And in order to have peace, when your life is where you're starting when you're working on bitachon, which is a place that you don't like, right? When you're talking about your life starting in a place that's very difficult for you, if you're going to be at peace, often it means that if you're not mentally crazy, you're a little bit detached, right? There's a certain detachment or indifference. I can only be at peace if I'm not really in my life, if I'm sort of detached from it, right? And that's basically the enemy of menuchas hanefesh. Because menuchas hanefesh means that your soul is resting in the exact experience that you're in. You're in it. You are very much in it. But somehow you also have that menucha. Your soul is in your experience, but you're also at peace. But it is not because you're indifferent. Is it because like you're like accepting? Or like I was thinking about this, Rav Lechter gives a great example where he talks about like, let's say you're like making a business deal before Shabbos and it's like has, you know, it's a massive business deal and like you run out of time before Shabbos to make the business deal. So you're not sure if the guy's like actually going to call you back Motzei Shabbos or he's going to have made another deal in the meantime. So you put down, Jeff used to be like this when Jeff worked at Goldman Sachs and we have like, we have to work up to like the line and there's like crazy corporate environment right before Shabbos. And I remember like he would go to shul on Friday and spend the whole time like pacing back and forth trying to get out of like whatever software engineer problem he was in right before Shabbos started, right? But then eventually, by the time he wakes up on Shabbos morning, he's kind of like, okay, he's accepted that he can't change anything. The code that's there is the code that's there. Like, it's okay. Okay, so that's sort of like, it's not indifference, but it's like acceptance. So like, is that the level that we're going for?
I think it's interesting because I feel like certain people I've encountered, they feel everything's good, everything's fine. I'm always like, are you really in touch? It doesn't strike me as itachon. It strikes me as being out of touch with the reality and like being in denial. But they'll try to say, oh, no, it's fine, and Muna, whatever. But it doesn't feel, when someone talks like that, that they're being real. Like, they feel like out of detached.
Right.
So it's interesting to hear that like he kind of puts a finger on it.
Isn't it?
I've always had experience of like, are you processing what's going on? Because like, if you were, I feel like you wouldn't talk this way.
Yeah.
But they'll flaunt it as like you say, someone who calls themselves Bobby Tuffon, but it really feels just out of touch with their reality.
Yeah, exactly. I remember also one time I was listening to like a speaker talk about her niece who was going through like something really hard. Her husband was like in the emergency room for something and she had a little baby and whatever. And she basically said that she went to her niece's house like Erev Shabbos or whatever it was and was like, can I help you? And she was like, it's totally fine. Hashem is taking care of me. I'm like totally fine. And she was like, really? Because like actually your life is like insane and it's all falling apart. And she was like, no, it's totally fine. And basically shut the door in her aunt's face. And the aunt was like, in the story, whatever that she was telling, she was like, it was so beautiful to see how much emuna she had and bitachon she had. And I was also like, that's not emuna and bitachon. That's like her needing real support. And like, you should open that door back up or find who should and give her food. Like, that is just her being like so stressed out. Like, I yelled at you, she's like zoning out of her life. She's like closed the door and backed off. And you could sense it, right? You could sense the people who are living their lives and in it with emuna and bitachon somehow paradoxically, which is where we're going in the next few lines. And the people who have kind of like detached, they're like indifferent. They've detached. They have this like, I don't know, this like floating above reality that is not really menuchas hanefesh. Their soul is not settled in their life. That's like ground zero. Again, I can't say it, or Lechter said it. That's ground zero. Like, you have to be in your life, in your experience, not floating somewhere above it and not detached from it, somewhere back here or up here or who knows where that you're like, okay? Good. I remember like, so about the acceptance piece, right? Like the answer, like, in the next few lines, he's going to describe something very different than like just acceptance, right? Just that like, okay, well, I have menuchas hanefesh because I guess I can't write code, so I may as well just like have Shabbos, right? That's sort of like, it's acceptance, but it's not quite bitachon, right? It's like another layer of that. So I remember when I was like in seminary, I was thinking about this when Marilla was speaking. When I was in seminary, I had this like awesome British roommate. I love British people. I have this like awesome British roommate who's just like very, you know them. They're like, ba-bam. So I was telling her, like, finally, it took me, like, a long time to open up to her about, like, something that had happened in my life. And I finally said it to her, and she just, like, looks me straight in the face, and she was like, that sucks. And I was, like, taken aback. And then I was like, that's it. That's all she said. Two words. That sucks. That was her entire response to me. But in some ways, it was, like, very validating, right? It was like, you're right. That does suck. And, like, maybe I don't have to have any attitude other than that, right? So that's a certain acceptance. It's not indifference and it's not a detachment. It's acceptance. But is it bitachon? Not quite, right? Bitachon goes a layer deeper than just even saying, listen, this is really hard and like, I'm gonna accept it. I guess that sucks and like, let me move on, right? So bitachon is gonna be, it's not detachment, it's not acceptance, it's something else, okay? And we're about to describe a little bit more what it is. But again, it's only one paragraph, so don't worry. We're gonna keep going. There's many pages of this. Shar, which again, I'm gonna really try to do like one chabura per chapter, if not two chaburas per chapter, Bikushi, which sounds like I'll have to do per three, which is really long. Okay, so we read the first line. Ach mahusa bitachon hi menuchas hanefesh haboteach. V'sheyiyeh libo samuch al mi shebatach elav. Okay? In a certain way, his heart is dependent. His heart is, like, supported by the person who he trusts, who he has his trust in. She'yaseh hatov v'hanachon lo b'inyan asher yivtach elav kifi yecholto v'dato b'ma shemeipik tovaso. He has a certain, again, he has menuchas hanefesh, his soul is settled, and his heart is supported by this belief that the person that he trusts, so in this case Hashem, that's who we're talking about, will do hatov v'hanachon lo, what is good for me. So if I'm in Baal Bitachon, I have, my soul is settled and my heart is supported by my belief that Hashem will only do what's right for me. Basically, what's good for me. Okay? So again, that being said, and this is the paradox that we have to acknowledge, is at the heart of Bitachon. That being said, remember this paragraph that we just read beforehand? Again, right up here, that we already did. Mehen simchaso b'chol enesha yatak elav im ya keneged tivo. Sometimes our life is really hard. The fact that we believe that it is good does not mean that we pretend that it feels good. So again, at the root of bitachon here is the capacity for us to differentiate between believing that something is good and acknowledging when something feels good. Those are completely different. I can acknowledge 100% that whatever I'm experiencing does not feel good. And at the same time, I could believe that it is good for me right now. And I want it to change. And I'm going to doubt that it's going to change. And I'm going to believe that Hashem is going to change it. And right now it doesn't feel good. And right now it is part of what God wants from my Avodas Hashem. It is tailor-made for my life. My life speaks to what God wants from me. And he always wants something from me, and he values what he wants from me, and he has an agenda in what he wants from me, and that agenda ultimately is good with a capital G, even though right now, like my British roommate said, it sucks. Sorry to excuse my language, but I'm quoting her, and I think it's like a little bit encapsulates the feeling, but then I'm going to stop, okay? Here we go. Let's go on to chapter 2. Thanks for the chuckle, Ayala. Okay, Aval, Ha'iker. Asher ba'avuro yehiyah habitachon min haboteach v'im yipaked v'lo yimatzeh habitachon. Okay, the main point of what the Baal Bitachon has, that without it, you wouldn't have bitachon. It's called a ding unsich, okay? A thing unto itself, meaning the main thing at the core of something, that without it, it would disappear, a sine qua non, a condition sine qua non, right? It's something that, I probably pronounced that incorrectly, something that without it, the whole thing crumbles. Hu sheyia libo batuach b'meshe yivtach bo, right? His heart trusts in the person that he's trusting. So in this case, we're trusting Hashem. Sheyikayim masha amar v'sheyaseh masha ara v'yachshav eilav hatov. So he doesn't really talk about like the whole, like that he's going to fulfill his promise and fulfill his commitment. I'm not exactly sure what that's talking about, being totally honest. I'm going to try to listen to it again. As I was preparing this, I'm like, I didn't really catch that if he did give a parish on that. So I'm going to try to look at that over again. But again, here we have the same kind of lashon. V'yachshav eilav hatov b'ma shelo hisna lo v'lo arav asehu sheyaseyu nedava v'chesed. So again, he believes that he's going to fulfill what he promised to him. And even in whatever's happening in his life in which God is not fulfilling what he promised to him, again, whatever that's referring to, I'm not 100% sure. At the same time, he believes that in all of those moments, God wants his good. God wants his good. And that doesn't mean that it feels and the opposite, right? That's what we're talking about. Somebody who is an actual Baal Boteach is able to live in both those worlds at the same time. And that's why this is hard. Because it is not a detachment and a belief that, oh, it's totally fine. Hashem is, I have bitachon in Hashem, so my life is totally fine. It's not. It's menuchas hanefesh in my life. My soul is in my life. And I am very much in my life. And I'm not going to be one of those people who's like floating around and detached and can't have a conversation in the park about like all the actual human things that we experience in our daily lives, right? Like, again, okay, that was like a little bit of frustration on my part, right? There are certain times when like I go and talk to friends and they could very much like resonate with any struggle because they're acknowledging, they know how to acknowledge their own struggles. And we all know those people who can't do that. Right, who are so detached from their own struggles or so whatever it is, uncertain about it or just not in it, that they can't acknowledge that in other people. They can't really have that empathy with other human beings. Someone who's a Baal Boteach will be one of the most empathetic people you will ever meet, necessarily. because they're in their lives. They're experiencing their own hardships very, very much. And at the same time, they're saying it doesn't feel good. And at the same time, they are believing that in a certain way, it is, capital G, good for me. Not only in Hashem's plan out there in some fuzzy way, but I believe that Hashem has an agenda in this for me that includes my development, and that is me playing a part in his world. And he is extremely interested in every choice I make all throughout it and in what my life looks like right now, even if the struggle is always a struggle. And then magically, it disappears. At the other side of that, looking back, this was just as valuable as it is on the other side. That's bitachon. It's also similar to what we said before, right? After Ozzy Koltai passed away, we're coming up on a one-year anniversary. Jeff's going to New Jersey in, not this Sunday, but the next Sunday. They're having like a whole Siyum Hashas or something like that for Ozzy. So it's about to be like a year since Lag BaOmer, which we all know, last year in Meiron. So, right, we talked about this, like in the depth and the height, right? That's this again. It's that the Baal Bitachon is very deeply entrenched in their own life and very much sees it from a perspective that is higher than themselves and believes in that perspective higher than themselves, even though their experience of their life is like magnetically opposed to that. Apologize for the beeping outside. Okay, that was it. That was Perek Aleph. What is Bitachon? That's what it is. Hopefully we'll continue to get a little bit more into it. We will, because there's another, I think there's seven, so there's another six chapters. We'll keep going, and we'll find out what happens, and we'll find out more about Bitachon. Okay, any questions so far about what we did today?